you have not seen Man of Steel, one, good for you. Maybe you want to keep it that way.
Superman and Green Lantern ain't got another no me.
And I had seen this movie before, and I did not care for it.
Superman never made any money for saving the world from Sodom and Grundy.
The movie is very badly written.
What's the fucking point of this movie?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is Dedrick hyphen. No, not hyphen. Fuck it. David.
Good start.
It's terrible.
Smooth beginning.
I was going to say Dedrick, comma, David, but I don't know what happened.
It's
all knowledge of punctuation.
It's a new
fled,
name. It's fled. A new name. You're getting used to it. I'm Ian Boothby. See, that was difficult. Dave, let's
show,
not fight right off the
I
top.
I started the show ineptly, swore. Oh, well.
Do you know what we've been saying we should start the show off with is our plugs? Because we always have the plugs.
Our
for
hair
things
plugs.
Yeah, our hair plugs. Admit our that we both hair have plugs hair
for,
plugs.
Hair plugs for men.
I just get them on my back. I just get hair on my back, and I've got that in the shape of a heart.
Nice.
Yeah. And a skull is in the middle of the heart.
Is that right?
And the skull is saying, and it's all said in hair,
yeah.
What's up?
Mine just says, true dat. It's
yeah.
just a big speech, but that's
we both
all.
Got that yeah. the same day.
Yeah.
Okay, but before we get into our nonsense, we've got upcoming things that we should plug.
Okay.
On July 13th, I've got a show that I'm co-producing at the Rio Theater, and
yes.
it's to raise funds for Calgary Red Cross flood relief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have comedy. It's yeah. going to have, do you like ladies taking off their clothes, but in a way that's artsy, so that makes you feel okay about it?
Sometimes.
That's called burlesque. We got that
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
We got improv, and I'm booking the improv, and we've got some great improvisers, great comedians. We got some great music, and it's all happening. I think it's called Calgary Cares or Caring for Calgary. It's something, but it's on.
It's not called You Missed the Arc?
No, it's not.
Okay.
We're not doing, no. Maybe,
okay.
maybe enough time will have passed between now and then that we'll be okay with that.
Okay.
By the way, we're recording this in the past, so it's still fresh for us. Unlike the rest of David's jokes, that one's a bit too fresh. but yeah, July 13th, Saturday at 9 o'clock at the Rio Theater in Vancouver. Got a great show. It's by donation at the door. We've also got our friend James Lloyd is going to be there, and he's going to be drawing you, if you come and you make a donation to James Lloyd, he'll draw you in a Simpsons style, because
yep.
he's a Simpsons and Futurama
he is
artist.
Simpsons and Futurama
but
artist,
he also
yeah.
likes the old EC Comics. He'll draw you
sure.
in EC Comics style. He'll
mm-hmm.
draw you in R. Crumb style.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, you and maybe a friend, you want to pose together. And it's an amazing little extra thing, and he'll be there. So come on down. That's the 13th at the Rio.
At what time? At what time?
At 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
In the evening. Now, hey, you go like, oh, I'm going to get some sleep after that. Sounds great. But get up for noon
yeah.
because David and I will be part of a live Sneaky Dragon podcast with our friends at Caustic Soda.
That's right. At Caustic Soda at the EXP Bar or XP Bar. We're not
yeah.
too sure what it's actually called.
I believe it's called Caustic Soda Space Disasters in 3D. Is
yes,
that what it's
that's
called?
The name of the show.
Right. And that's,
we are the disaster. They
are
the space. And I'm not too sure what the third dimension is. That's probably the audience.
And that's on Pender Street in Vancouver.
That's
and
right.
And you can get tickets at causticgear1word.com. So that's $10, but well worth it. So $9 to see them, $1 to see us.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the way that all divides
that seems
up.
Equitable.
Yeah, and so those are our main plugs. We've got other plugs at the end of the show, but those are the ones off the top. Also, if you want to wear things with our name on them, come to our website, sneakydragon.com, and we will supply you with clothing if you go to our merch area.
Yeah, yeah.
Look
for some merch.
Now, last week, we ended on a cliffhanger.
We did.
That's right. And the answer,
I was dead.
That's right. You were dead.
And we wondered who shot me.
That's right. And the answer was...
My own mouth.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
I was going to say Buddha.
It's
okay.
The usual problem.
We met Buddha on the road. And you tried to kill him. He drew first.
He shot me.
Yeah. So that was how that went.
That's right.
But yeah. No, your own mouth. That's fair. But the cliffhanger last time was David had a question.
I had a question for you, and it relates to stand-up comedy.
Okay. That's fine.
And it's kind of in the news right now.
They will have some of that, by the way, at the Rio Theater on July 13th.
The Rio Theater, July 13th. At what time was that at?
I don't know. Sometime. Just show up anytime.
9 o'clock.
Why not?
So this is my question.
You're a Vancouver audience. You know you're not going to show up at 9. Who am I fooling?
I just wanted to ask you your thoughts about this.
Okay, please.
For people who are foreigners, people who live outside of Canada.
Okay.
You're not foreigners where you live, but you know.
Yeah, Americans have a hard time being thought of as foreigners.
They do. Well, they prefer to be thought of as furriners.
Right.
Furriners, that's more.
Or farriers, if they work with horses.
Not furriers, furriners. So we have here in Canada, it's a thing called the Human Rights Tribunal.
Okay.
And what they do is people who feel that they have been grossly insulted or feel that that's their color, their skin color or their religion or their lack of religion, in some way people are, you know, abusing them because of that, can take their case to this Human Rights Tribunal where the case is tried, and 100% for sure you will win your case.
Okay, let me take that back just a second. Now, the reason for this is this was originally set up so you could not discriminate as say, someone for skin color renting an apartment.
Sure.
Or at the job, you can go, mm-hmm. Oh, I learned you're gay, get out.
Yeah.
So that's why this was set up, was because it was such a human rights abuse to do this kind of thing that they set this court up.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, no one has ever lost who has taken someone to court in this. Now, some people might say with that the reason was because the only cases that have validity get to this case.
Yeah.
But that's just the setup for it. Now, please continue, David.
So recently we had a case, and I don't know the name, but there was a comic.
Recently being about 2 years ago.
But didn't it just finish? They just finished the
what
actual...
happened was, I believe the Canadian Supreme Court upheld the decision I should let you just say the whole thing and then I'll clarify, but please continue.
I forgot what I was going to say now.
Okay.
So let's move on to our second topic.
What's the tastiest ice cream?
So what's the tastiest ice cream is?
The answer is hedgehog.
Hedgehog ice cream.
Pretty good.
Hmm. Made of actual hedgehogs.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And why do they hog all the hedge?
That's a cute meme.
I remember that. Well, it's a meme, but it used to
meme, as it's actually pronounced.
It won best joke at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a couple of years ago, and since that time, it's become a meme.
It's taken off like gangbusters.
Speaking of comedy and things that have taken off like gangbusters, what happened?
Yeah. So in this case, this comedian was doing his act. I think he was an MC.
Yes.
So he was.
The comedian's name is Guy Earl.
Guy Earl. He was.
Outing the guy. It's like, yeah, his name is Guy Earl. It was at Zesty's restaurant on Commercial Drive.
So we had some women who I guess were sitting in front of the stage and were being kind of flamboyantly gay. They were making out in front of him. And he maybe felt that they were drawing attention away from the show. And he drew attention to them, used some language that people wouldn't want to be called. They took him to the Human Rights Tribunal. And he had to pay them $15,000.
And they won $15,000. Well, actually, it was more than that. I think it was like $22,000. I think it's been upheld by the Supreme Court to be $15,000.
Okay.
But the original, I believe originally it was $22,000.
Yeah. Yes. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Like, to me, it seems...
Okay, let me get your thoughts first, and then I'll give you my thoughts. Because it feels like you're saying this with a bit of opinion. So I'd like to know what you feel, and then I'll throw my two bits in.
Well, this is not the first time this has happened, that what I think are... what would be the word?
Please don't say PC culture gone mad.
PC culture gone mad. Well, I think PC culture went mad in the 90s. So I mean, we're living with the results of that.
All
right.
I disagree completely with that, but please continue.
Sure,
with yours.
You can. You may disagree all you want and be wrong.
By the way, look up Stuart Lee. He's a comedian. He's hilarious, and he's got a special called that's called Political Correctness Gone Mad.
Oh, okay,
it's a great special.
Sure.
I think you will enjoy it.
Okay.
Involves a little baby ballerina shoe on a stick. That's a hilarious bit of business he does.
Yeah.
But please continue with yours, thanks, sir.
So, I mean, there's things that the Human Rights Tribunal has done that people would agree with, and to some degree.
In fact, most of them, they probably would, except for there was something with McLean's magazine.
McLean's magazine was taken to the Human Rights Tribunal by some Muslim students in Ontario. Because they had done an article about Islamophobia.
Right.
And they felt that it was Islamophobic. Mm-hmm. And then they... But you know, the McLeans tried to deal with them in a reasonable way, but they wanted to take control of an entire issue of this national magazine themselves and publish their own issue as McLean's magazine.
Yeah.
Which McLean's obviously did not agree to.
Obviously would not do
and
that.
So,
yeah.
You know, they went, they were using the Human Rights Tribunal as a hammer to try to make, to get this.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know. And then there was a case of some Christians in Alberta who are extremely anti-homosexual and were publishing, leaflets or flyers mm-hmm. denouncing homosexuality, who were taken to the Human Rights Tribunal and can no longer publish them and had to pay a fine and stuff like that. No, I think most people hear that and say, well, that's fine. You know, I'm all for homosexuality or I'm all for equality. And it seems unfair that there's a group of people who are saying those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. The problem to me is that they're just a small group of people. It's kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church. How many people are in the Westboro Baptist Church?
Most of them seem related to each other.
And there's about 12 of them.
And yet, with the Baptist Church, I mean, how many do you need to be protesting at your funeral before it's terrible?
I mean, it's terrible. Of course, it's terrible what they're doing.
I know they're small, but they have great impact in that case because
they are they're given that.
Well, they go to people when they're at their most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And they say hateful things when people are at their most raw and will react, and then the people react, and then they've got the publicity they want.
The problem isn't the people who are it's often not the people who are being protested against who are reacting to it. It's usually the people around it who are seeing it done who are reacting to it.
Yeah.
So you end up with this proliferation of them rather than, you know, like. I mean, the Westboro Baptist Church has been around for a long time and has been doing this for a long time.
Yes, they have.
Really, the only reason we know about it the way we know about it now is because of the internet has spread their message.
When did they start? Like, they for those of you that don't know, they have signs that say, like, God hates fags.
Yeah.
And they will go to someone's funeral, not necessarily someone even who's gay.
Yeah.
But they're whatever.
They just use it as a way of self-promotion. It's just ridiculously horrible.
So they go and people who see
they're
this,
they're at the Sandy Hook. They're at Sandy Hook.
Yeah, they do horrible things. People are horrified.
Yeah.
And the news covers it because it's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And so they cover it and the cycle continues and there you go. Okay. Yeah. So that was an example, but please continue.
It's an example in the States where I don't think there is a really strong law against hate speech. Is there in the States?
No, I think it's protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even hate speech. Whereas in Canada, it's not.
Yeah. I think there's hate crimes in the States, but there's no hate speech. I think that's a uniquely Canadian thing.
Yeah. See, I kind of fall on the Voltaire side of things, which is that, you know, I disagree with what you say, but I will fight to the death. Or defend your right to say it. You know, is what Voltaire
now, will
said.
You fight to the death for the right to say it anywhere? Like if a guy's got a megaphone and he's outside of your home and he's screaming something about your daughters and he's calling them foul names, are you still Voltaire-ing
it? I think that's different. I mean,
not at a funeral. If like someone that you love dies and there's people that are shouting horrible things about the person you love.
I don't think they're allowed to shout. The Westboro Baptist, and there's also there's a limit on how close.
Okay,
let's not go with there because I think that's an extreme example of hatred. You know that kind of falls outside of normal.
Okay,
you know, like let's say the guy in Alberta who's publishing this ridiculous nonsense about homosexuality.
All right, now what is he actually saying?
I can't remember now.
Now
this is about a year ago. I was
reading. You should hurt them, drive them out.
No, but he's talking about it. He's talking about you know, it's an abomination, and you know, all the this is sort of normal things that someone who's, you know, a homophobe would say, right?
Okay.
And naturally, of course, it's horrible to say that. It's horrible to say that about any person.
Right.
You know, so I'm not defending what they're saying.
No. Okay. I get you. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah.
But, you know, in the situation with like Guy Earle, I mean, you can look up on YouTube, you can find lots of, you know, I was going through one time and watching a bunch of Zach Galifianakis iPhone bits people have recorded of him doing his act. And there's this time where I guess someone was being rude in front of the stage. Problem is you don't have context for some of these things. So suddenly it's just Zach Galifianakis, who seems like a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Exploding in the most terrible way at some poor woman.
Right.
And using the C word and, you know, just lashing out at her in a really abusive way, you know, that I think probably hurt her feelings.
Yep.
If, you know, and... So to me, what this guy Earl was doing kind of falls in the same way. It's unfortunate that the people he was insulting, you know, are of a particular, you know, obviously felt like when he was making fun of them as dykes or whatever.
That's what he said to them. Yeah.
He called them dykes.
Yeah. It's not an appropriate word to say, but it's an appropriate word to reuse if that's what they said. And they did. Yeah. He said he called them, I think he said, fucking dykes. And then he said, you know, lesbians are always ruining everything.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what he said. That was his.
That doesn't seem that bad to me. In that moment of, you know, people being angry as comedians, doing that sort of lash out at hecklers.
Okay.
Well, compared to what, you know, what Zach Galifianakis calling this woman a cunt?
No, completely wrong.
You think?
Zach Galifianakis was doing that in a character thing and then snapping back to his regular self later on.
Oh, okay.
This is a weird situation. Yeah. One, as in, you know, okay, but here's the thing. Zach Galifianakis, when you see him doing that, people don't, I think, leave that going like, oh, that was really the guy. That was real.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, here was the situation that happened. There was an amateur comedy night going on at Zesty's.
Sure.
The women in question were out on the patio.
Okay.
This is in a very gay-friendly part of town.
Sure.
They have a lesbian comedy night at this venue.
Okay.
Okay. So the patio is being shut. And the woman who did not know there was a comedy show inside or was not interested in going to a comedy show was like, you can either leave or you can come inside, comedy show going on.
Yeah.
So he goes in and she goes in and let's just assume, I'm going to make this assumption, the show is shitty.
Yeah.
It's a really shitty show, okay?
It's amateur comedy.
It's amateur. Well, not necessarily. Some of the comics are good.
Yeah.
But the MC, let's go with this guy, Earl, is terrible.
Okay.
He's terrible. Like, okay. I'm not going to go like, you know, whatever. But he's a terrible MC. He's not funny. He's mean. He's not. And he's losing the crowd.
Okay.
And then he looks down in the front row and they're being distracting. And the word was that they were like making out and they were doing this kind of stuff. And I played the same club and I've had the same situation happen to me, but I handled it differently.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You pulled out your penis and said, have you seen this before?
There you go. And so he decided to go for the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, what's the worst thing that you can say in the very gay positive neighborhood to the ladies
who are here?
It wasn't in you know, here's the thing to me,
don't get me wrong, I'm not saying what he said was okay.
Okay. Let's take the government.
But is it $15,000 bad?
I'm gonna go like, no, I gotta set this up first.
Okay.
As in like the problem was the government getting involved. What you had was her being a jerk.
Yeah.
What you had was him being a jerk.
Yeah.
It was a schoolyard fight.
Yes.
He is in no way in the right.
Yeah.
She is not in the right.
Mm-hmm.
But then the government stepped in and they turned this too big and it became a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yes, I will say, like, with hecklers, dealing with hecklers, sometimes you have to go to the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say the worst things possible.
Yeah.
But as a comedian, when you've said the worst things possible, you then cannot just go, it's just a joke. You can't.
Okay.
Like, to me, you can't do that. You do it, but then you take what you said, you take responsibility for what you said.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was a guy who didn't know how to handle a gun using a gun.
Okay.
And so what should have happened was the audience should have booed him.
Yeah.
The comedian should have made fun of him.
Yeah.
And maybe the women in question there should have started a boycott of the restaurant.
Yeah.
And this kind of thing would have taken care of itself, mm-hmm. as it has before on commercial.
Yeah.
Famously, Joe's Cafe up the street stopped two women from kissing once, and there was a huge boycott. And it's that kind of thing. That's how you handle this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, what happened was she went to the government because there was an option.
Yeah.
Like, I can see her point of view of just like, I was in a restaurant that I normally go to. Yeah, I might have been being a bit loud. And how you get dealt with in a restaurant when you're being a bit loud is, we're going to ask you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get dealt with.
Yeah.
If things get to be the worst, they call the police and the police go, ma'am, you're leaving. That's what happens. You don't get anyone calling you a homophobic word. You don't have people saying, insulting you, not because of your actions, but because of who you are. That's the shit thing that this guy did. He didn't make it about action. He made it about who they were as people. And that's where he is a fucking asshole. But you then to turn to the government and have the government call that like a hate crime and then put this big fine on it. What the problem with that is, that then lets anyone do it to anything that they don't like. Because I went to see Avenue Q yesterday.
Yeah.
There's enough things in Avenue Q that if I wanted to, I could go like, well, that really offended me.
Yeah.
I think that's a hate crime. And boom, now I've sued Avenue Q, which seems ridiculous. The only problem is this umbrella that they've set up covers too much ground.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, an umbrella shouldn't cover ground. Maybe it should. It keeps you dry up above.
Sure.
That's the problem.
It's a beach umbrella.
The problem with all this is not that she took this option. I mean, I can see her being so about this that she wanted to fucking kill this guy.
Yeah.
But what options do I have? Well, we have this option. I'm going to take that option. The problem isn't that she took the option. The problem is that we have the option. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't have a cannon next to her that she can blow the guy off with. Well, you wouldn't blow the guy off. That probably wouldn't be happening. But, you know, blow the guy off the stage.
Blow the guy away.
Yeah, blow the guy away with.
Yeah.
The big problem in all this is this law exists.
Yeah.
And it's not confined to enough things that it should be confined to, which mm-hmm. is employment, you know, whether you can adopt a child, you know, whether you can rent a house or things along those lines. When it comes to art, that's a real tricky thing, you know, because any art can offend, any TV show can offend, you know, a South Park episode that you watch on the Comedy Network can really offend you and you go like, well, that's the Comedy Network offending me by putting this on. So now it's a hate crime and there you go.
Well, I'll give you an example of a rather ridiculous, someone I worked with, he wasn't a friend, but in the situation, he threw a water bottle cap at someone because the guy was wearing headphones, mm-hmm. iPod headphones, and wasn't paying attention to him. So he just threw this little bottle cap at him.
Right.
And he was taken to the Human Rights Tribunal for doing that.
What was the reason for that?
I have no idea what the reason was, but yeah, he got a
letter
from them.
There had to have been something written.
I think they felt that he was an example of
did he yell a slur while throwing the cap?
No.
Weird.
Yeah, very strange.
Well, he was taken to it, but did it go anywhere?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
It didn't.
I mean, that's the thing. They do go through stages on this kind of thing. So this one did go all the way.
I think because the one guy had returned, he was from a different province, so he had gone back to his home. So
right.
I don't think he felt like driving all the way here. But
here's the other
thing.
It
was essentially just a bully tactic.
I mean, I really do think this is, I mean, it's what happened is terrible. And it should not have happened. And it's completely wrong.
It never
happened. But I also think the people who are going, well, this is the slippery slope. And now here we go. And now I guess you can't say anything. Whenever people give me the old political correctness gone mad, I guess you can't say anything. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Let me walk down the street and to an open mic night and hear every other comic doing a rape joke. I mean,
that's fine. As long as you're raping white people, it's okay. Am I right, everyone? PC gone mad.
Yeah, no one seems to be shutting up for all this, like, I guess you can't say anything.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want to, no one's stopping you from saying it, but mm-hmm. sometimes there's consequences. In this case, the consequences were too crazy.
Yeah.
But often the people who are complaining about PC gone mad are people who are going, well, the audience didn't laugh at my joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what happens? They don't laugh at a lot of jokes, but we don't have the out with all the other jokes of just like, I guess you're uptight.
Yeah.
You know, which is what it used to be. It didn't be PC gone mad. It was like, I guess you guys are uptight. And then before that, it was, I guess you're all squares. You know, it's like, yeah, there's always a reason that people aren't laughing at your joke that's offensive, that you know that's offensive, that you're probably using because it's offensive, because it gets a reaction, you know.
I know who that's aimed at.
Who's that?
Me. no, I was, you know, I just heard about it kind of a hearsay way, so I was interested in hearing your opinion. So I'm, you know, you kind of gave it some more background and gave it, you know, so it's interesting. Yeah.
But what do you guys all think?
Yeah, please write us hate mail. Let us know.
No, I'm into it. Like, I'm gonna say, obviously, think like, we have a joke on this show where we have the hate crime jar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're gonna in the course of this show say things that will sound, oh my lord, you know, they will. But I would like to think that whatever mm-hmm. I say on the show, I will be able to back up later on. And if I can't, I'll go, well, I was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
I think there's nothing I've said in the show that I can't back over.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what happened to me at that same bar, I think maybe about 3 weeks earlier. I'm doing a show, and I've got a bit in my act about, and I'm emceeing. I'm doing the same job as that guy, I think. Am I emceeing? No, I'm just doing a set.
Let me guess. There was a table of raccoons.
That's right.
Okay.
And I went like, who hates washing their hands? And I was doing a joke about people who hate washing their hands. And they were like, hey! And don't you hate people that look like thieves? Hey! Any nocturnals here? I hope not. Whoa, buddy. Holy cow. And I was also wearing my Daniel Boone cap.
Oh, my gosh.
So
no wonder they were offended.
Yeah, that's right.
What's a Daniel Boone cap?
That's one. Okay, good. You know what?
I got it because I'm old.
Here's the thing. Daniel Boone killed a bar when he was only 3. What they don't tell you is it was from syphilis. Anyway.
He killed the bear from syphilis.
Yes.
He gave it syphilis.
The town of syphilis.
He gave it syphilis. Is that what you're saying?
As I'm saying, he gave
the bear
syphilis.
He had romantic relations with the bear.
No, I just kissed it.
15 years later, the bear died of tertiary syphilis. It was insane. I thought it was a ballerina.
Dave, don't offend me. Because I can make an easy $22,000 right now. And buddy, I got taxes. What if that's tax-free money if you get it from hate?
It's not. You have to pay for it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes out of your taxes.
Too bad. So anyway, what happened to me, I'm at that same bar and I'm doing a set and I got a bit in my act about the product, the Magic Bullet, which is a blender.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find strange about that is that when you think the Magic Bullet, the most famous Magic Bullet is the one that killed Kennedy. So I'm like, it's odd that you're...
Magic Bullet theory, yes.
That's right. It's weird that you're naming your product that makes salsa out of something that's best known for going through the, you know, the head of the president. It's like a gruesome death,
yeah.
And yet we're calling it that. And I go like, you know, what happens next, as you say in a comedy bit?
Yeah.
And you go like, will you have a coffee grinder called Ground Zero? And it's like, how about my Auschwisk? You know, it's just... and you go from there. Okay, so that's
sure,
my bit.
Sure. I shouldn't have laughed at that because that was terrible.
Yeah. So anyway... So I start off with like, you know, it's weird. You got this thing, it's called the Magic Bullet,
yeah.
And just like, woo, is like in a table full of ladies. And the yeah. ladies are being very amorous with each other and yeah. they're drunk
yeah.
and they're sitting very close to the front. But I don't care because who cares? I'm yeah. just going through the act and like, okay. And I do the Magic Bullet again. I love the Magic Bullet is I get from that. And I'm like, okay, now I've got to acknowledge what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, what, you love the blender? It's like, no, it's also a sex toy. And I'd forgotten. That is true.
Oh, okay.
And I was saying like, are you sure it's called the Magic Bullet? And they're like, I think it is. Are you sure? Because I'd seen something. And I went like, was it the Silver Bullet? And they're like, no, that's a beer. Like, okay, I guess you couldn't use a sex toy called the Silver Bullet if you're a werewolf. That'd just, like, kill you instantly. And we're just going off about that.
Yeah.
And like, all right, so that's enough acknowledgement of their existence. And I'm going back into my act, like, because, like, what happens next? Would you have the, I love pussy, is what I'm getting from that. Now, if I'm...
Thanks for being obvious.
Right. So now if I'm Guy Earl,
yeah.
I say something homophobic
yeah.
to try and shut them down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I throw gasoline on the fire. But I don't. I just go... Who doesn't? All in favor. And I move on from there because that bit's dead. And so I go on and
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
But I can understand how like there's a disruptive element in the room and you want to deal with it. And he hadn't the experience to deal with it the correct way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do not think that we live in a, you know, a world where you can't say what you want because
yeah.
like I can go to any club in town and I'll hear someone saying stuff, you know, that I'd go like, whoa, you wouldn't hear that on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you got the balls to say it, you got the balls to say it, say it. And if you don't have the balls to say it, don't complain when other people, you know, don't say other people are taking away your right. The only
yeah.
person that takes away your right to say something is you. Where sometimes people complain is they go like, yeah, I'm not working as much anymore. Okay, you've got the right to free speech. You don't have the right to be paid for your speech. And if people decide they don't want to pay for your speech,
yeah.
that's a way different thing than people taking away your right to speech. So that's kind of my thing on that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for elucidating. On that topic.
All right. There's no need to use that kind of language. But what? Yeah, let me know your opinions on this as well. We might put up links to stuff and what have you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might do that.
Controversial.
Do you think it's controversial?
I don't.
It is
to agree. Because people have their hot buttons.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, everyone's got something in their life that's sacred to them.
Mm-hmm.
No matter the most open-minded person in the world who thinks like, hey, man, I'm not offended at nothing. And you'll
yeah.
mention one thing and just like, whoa, that's the one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the line that you cross. That's my tender.
Mm-hmm.
That's my tender spot.
Yeah.
And you got to acknowledge that like everyone's got one of those.
Yeah, don't diss Kermit the Frog. I'll just lose it. I'll lose my cool.
Yeah.
I'll flip. I'll go mad. I'll go crazy. I'll go wild. It's trying to sound like Christopher
Walken. You'll go. I thought you were going to go, I'll go crazy. I'll go wild. I'll go. Aah! There you are.
Yes.
Now, just shifting gears slightly. By the way, there's some spoilers coming right now. And I'm
really?
Tell you, yeah. David and I went to see a motion picture.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about food.
Yes. We ate some spoiled food before
yeah.
we came here.
Feeling a little woozy.
David and I are very poor.
Best we can afford.
If those of you who haven't seen us in person, if you know Richie Rich comics, mm-hmm. and why would you? Because you're probably young. But
yeah.
Pick up a Richie Rich comic. His two little poor friends,
Pee Wee and Freckles.
Pee Wee and Syphilis. he's got the freckles from the syphilis. They changed his name.
That's Pee Pee and Syphilis. Those are two different friends.
That's right. And they're very, very poor, and that's what David and I look like.
Yeah. There's a restaurant here in town called Spoilers, and we went there for dinner.
That's right.
Yeah. They get food from other restaurants that's been left on the table.
That's right. You know, and the one thing they promise, we don't have a dumpster out back.
That's right. You are the dumpster.
That's right. So, eat like the crows eat, is what they say. So we went and we saw Man of Steel. Now, there will be some spoilers for the movie Man of Steel coming up in the second part of our podcast. So if you have not seen Man of Steel, one, good for you. Maybe you want to keep it that way. Or two, like you might want to listen to this like after you've seen Man of Steel. So you have been suitably warned.
Yes.
Now you're warned. We will warn you on the podcast itself. Yeah. Warning, warning, warning.
And if you want to come here personally, I will warm you as well.
Yes. Dave will give you a warming hug.
I will give you a warm hug.
Dave also has a lot of tiger balm on him. And he will give you a full body rub.
Yeah.
And, oh boy.
do you remember the weird place that Tiger Balm was advertised?
Okay. This is not a spoiler. Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember?
No. On bikes.
Yeah. The guys who would pull the rickshaws or they could do the bicycle cabs or whatever they're called. Pedicabs, I guess.
That's right.
Called. Pedicures. And they always had the tiger. I guess it was to remind them.
Yeah.
Like, sore? You should get some Tiger Balm.
Well, here's the other reason for that is like often if you are going to take one of those, the reason is your legs are sore.
Oh.
You're like, oh, I don't want to walk anymore. Hey, there's that. Oh,
I'd like
Tiger Balm.
Stare at this guy's bum.
Maybe you would.
They should have had the cart face the other way.
What?
When you were riding with a pedicab.
Yeah. You want to be like facing away from the direction
you're
going.
Yeah, so I don't want to look at the guy.
So you want to be riding backwards through the
city? I want to be sitting backwards, yeah.
So you're going to crash into things.
No, he's driving. You don't steer, and he just pedals.
Oh, I see. So you're facing the back.
Yeah.
That seems rude.
Why? What do I care about him?
How you doing?
I'm making a guy pedal me around town. I don't think I'm really caring about his feelings.
So all you're... Okay, but look, if you're doing that, you're staring at the driver right behind you who's looking at you like you're the biggest weirdo.
Just give him a wave.
Well, you're also like, you know, making him go slow because he's got like this guy who's going...
Well, I am rather fat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huge. That's the thing. He's got that muscly fat. That's the weighs more.
Yeah.
Because muscle weighs more than fat. You're like the kingpin in Spider-Man, all muscle.
Muscle does weigh more than fat.
So speaking of superheroes,
Superheroes.
We went to see Man of Steel. We tried to go see This is the End. And
was over.
Yeah. What didn't you get about the title? And so we went, oh boy, we paid $8 for parking. What are we going to do? And so I said, they have this motion picture called Man of Steel. I've seen it.
And I said, really? I've never heard of it.
All right. So
what is this movie about,
Man of Steel? It's about steelworkers.
It's about steelworkers.
Yes. It's about people on the girder.
Yeah.
You see that poster with all the guys eating lunch on the girder?
I love that.
That is what the movie is based on.
Does that disturb you when you look at that?
Yes.
I find that rather...
What if the guy in the middle has to pee?
Yeah.
There's no way, by the way.
Where do they go?
You know where they go.
No, I just mean, like, where do they, like, do they have to all kind of squiggle off of it, like, one at a time?
No. The guy stands up and takes a whiz off the fucking girder.
No, that's nice, everyone else in the wind. What if...
But you think those guys actually go all the way back down to the bottom and then use
No, I don't think that. I don't think they just stand up and pee while everyone's sitting around them. They go off to a remote corner and let loose.
Okay.
And people down below go, is it raining? But I just think, like, you know when you eat your lunch and you eat faster than everyone else?
Yeah.
And you have to sit there waiting for them to finish.
What are you going
to
do? What else are you going to do?
And the one guy's got like a big giant box lunch and you just brought a little baggie of grapes or something.
I ask him for a little bit of a sandwich.
I guess you could do that.
Yeah, you're bonding.
You better be friendly up there too.
Yeah. Why don't you just eat like where it's not dangerous?
That would be a bad place to make enemies.
Look, that picture was like not probably what happened every day. They probably had to know, let's go all line up and have a nice sandwich.
And like just out of sight in the picture, there's a floor.
That's right.
They're actually sitting right on the ground.
Directly below him, Harold Lloyd is hanging off a clock.
Off a clock. Hooray for Harold Lloyd.
Okay. So that was some Harold Lloyd spoilers. So we went to see
Safety Last.
We went to see Man of Steel, and I had seen this movie before, and I did not care for it.
So but you went anyway.
I went because I've heard a lot of people who
that is
like
thrifty
really,
of you.
Well, I've heard a lot of people who really liked it.
Okay.
And so I thought, I'm going to give it a second shot. You know, I had two bathroom breaks in the first one. I'm going to time my bathroom breaks differently in the second one.
Okay.
Maybe I missed some stuff that made some sense.
Yeah.
And so there you go. All right. So, David, your impressions, your first impressions of Man of Steel. Spoiler begins now.
Spoilers begin now. Well,
Batman.
Do you want me to start?
Not enough Batman.
Well, I didn't really like the Batman movies all that much. But
didn't you like The Dark Knight?
No.
Yes, you did. Because I sat next to you and you turned to me and you said, oh, no, you said that was a very intense movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a different feeling, I think, than... I enjoyed it.
I'm going to interrupt you before we even start.
Yes, you have.
And say, I think Man of Steel was the anti-Dark Knight movie, and here's why.
Okay.
You had a scene at the end of Dark Knight where the Joker is fighting Batman.
He's not even funny.
And the Joker and he tells Batman about the big plan where it's the two boats. And he says to him, you didn't think I was going to leave this all just to a fist fight between us, did you?
Yeah.
Basically, he's like, that would be a ridiculous superhero trope.
That's true.
Which they, of course, do in this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the nth degree.
Right. And also, something that happens in that movie is they let the villain, of course, live. You know, and from what I've heard, by the way, spoiler, one of the villains does not live.
I think there's enough advertising of that restaurant in the show.
Christopher Nolan, he was the director of that, and he was the producer of this. Apparently, he was not game for the ending of this. He had to be convinced to go with the ending. He was not pro the ending. And I understand from the movies, the Batman movies, I can see why he would not be pro this ending. But continue, Dave.
He prefers something more logical, like 5 seconds before a bomb goes off, Batman is able to get off of...
boy, that was not a good ending. I'll give you that.
So anyway...
I really like Dark Knight. I like Batman Begins. I did not like Batman. Okay. Bomb disposal bat.
Well, you know, I saw a Superman movie. I saw a Superman movie in 19...
Hey, please review this as Foghorn Leghorn.
1980, was it? 1980? Was that when the one came out?
I would say 79 or 80. 79
or 80. I didn't care for that
79,
film.
I think.
I did not care for that Batman. Okay. I thought it was okay. I thought it was so-so. Mm-hmm. But I felt the same way about this film when I saw it, which is when I saw Krypton...
Oh, you mean Superman. You said
Superman,
Batman.
Superman. And when I saw Man of Steel, I felt the same way, which is Krypton looks like a horrible place to live.
Absolutely does.
Like what? They wear these armor... Like in the new one, they wear armor.
To be fair, those were soldiers.
No, he's a scientist.
Oh, the scientist.
Yeah. He's still wearing armor.
He's wearing kind of
the
armor.
Wife is wearing armor. The only time she's not wearing armor is when she's having the baby.
Right, and the baby comes out with a full set
of armor. He comes out with armor on.
That's right.
Under armor. And then, well, this is, so it just feels like, I don't know, this is kind of weird monochromatic world, which I know most movies nowadays have two colors, gray and brown.
Right.
But this is really gray and brown. Like even like their computer things, like they have these sort of computer simulations and stuff like that. They're all kind of weirdly gray. Like it's strange.
Yeah.
And then...
Could I say something on Krypton?
Sure.
Krypton, listen, here's the thing about Krypton. Stop making Krypton suck.
Yeah.
Stop making Krypton suck. Because like for the most part, you're right. The one with Brando and it's all ice and business.
All kind of pointy things
it's
everywhere.
Pointy, like it doesn't pointy shit everywhere.
Where are you gonna sit?
It's very there's very few Kryptons that I've ever seen that you didn't go like, it's for the best. Who cares? If you want to make people sad about a planet blowing up, make us care about the planet. Like it's a beautiful, like the way they used to have it was a utopia.
Mm-hmm.
It was gorgeous. It was mankind or, you know, whatever, Kryptonian kind.
Yeah.
Like they've reached the peak and it's science and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But you know what? Science Council's too dumb to listen to Jor-El.
Yeah.
They think everything's so perfect. Yeah. They're blind to it. Boom, there goes the planet.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this one is just like, it looked like one of the generic planets from the prequels to Star Wars. It was like, oh, we're at this fucking world again.
But it's not just that. I mean, like, they're in their home. I assume it's their home. There's no chairs. There's no couches.
Yeah.
There's
no windows.
They never sit down, apparently, and they don't have dinner. They don't have a table.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like these kind of weirdly empty places that are gray and brown.
Yeah.
And it's dull.
Yeah.
And then, well, let's, like, I mean, I could nitpick at everything. Do you want me to?
Please.
Do you want me to nitpick the?
Have you ever listened to our show?
Because
Dave, we did an hour and a half on This Is 40.
But that movie was terrible. That movie was more terrible than Man of Steel.
Okay, we're not going on This Is 40 again.
Man of Steel, I mean, was a masterpiece compared to This Is 40.
Okay.
But Man of Steel, okay, well, here, like, if I was, like, if you've seen the movie, then you know how, you know
how
it goes.
You know I saw the movie. I sat next to you.
I'm just talking to the audience
now. I had a bag of popcorn.
I'm talking to
our,
I'm talking to our dear listener.
Oh, okay.
The one person left listening to the show.
Hey, Roy.
Roy. Roy G. Biv. And, like, so in the Krypton section, like, what they needed to do was to, like, I'm just going to repeat stuff that we've already talked about, so it's, I know you'll be kind of bored, but I felt like they should have intercut the general, because they have General Zod in this film, which I think is a good start, right? Like, I think General Zod's a great start because if you have General Zod, you don't need the Jor-El. You don't need...
Good point.
You don't need the Fortress of Solitude kind of ideas where he goes there and he finds the little ice things that you stick into a machine and then he appears and talks to him. Or in this film, even more insanely, interacts with him.
Yeah.
Is he says, I'm just a ghost, but he's still interacting and
answering
questions.
I know you're going to say a really good point here, so I'm just gonna interrupt to say, I agree completely with this. When you have a character whose whole big thing is, where do I come from?
Yeah.
You have a character that can tell you where he comes from.
Yeah.
You don't need two characters telling
That's
you
right.
where they come from. And you definitely don't need two characters telling you the exact same fucking story.
Yeah.
If you have Zod, and this is what I was saying to you, if you have Zod telling him the bullshit story and him going, oh, that was my destiny, I've got to do this, holy cow, and then later finds the truth, that's a good story. But if Jor-El comes around first
or even just finds the truth himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like thinks, okay, I got to do what General Zod's saying, And then realizes what he's doing is terrible to the Earth, and he changes. That's it's fine. His own personal.
You have the moment. One fakey origin given you by the villain, and then later you find the truth.
Yeah,
that's an awesome story. When you have like Jor-El tell you the whole truth.
Yeah.
And like Zod repeats it. And by the way, we already saw it before.
Well, we get it three times.
You keep telling me the damn same story. Yeah. I didn't fall asleep. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
Because we get it three times. We get.
Yeah.
We get the. Movie opening on Krypton.
Right.
We get the sequence of them putting the baby into the thing, and then we get this ridiculous sequence where Jor-El, and we're told that these people are born, you know, they're programmed to a role in the society.
You can be a farmer, you're a scientist, yeah, you're a warrior.
So Jor-El is a scientist, yet he has the most like awesome fight sequences where he kills four people easily.
They're warriors,
yeah, they're soldiers that have been bred. We've been told they're bred, particularly bred to do this job. The scientist knocks them off like nothing,
right.
Beats up the general easily.
Oh, by the way, let me just say later in the film, these same warrior species are beaten by Lois Lane. Who's quicker on the draw than they are.
Yeah.
Even though they're on our planet and frankly should be faster by this point than Lois Lane.
To be fair, she does get some ghostly help.
Yeah, going like, they shoot over there. And the guys go, whoa, whoa, boop. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
So,
dumb warriors.
So you have General Zod come to the Jor-El residence, their fabulous mansion with no furniture
House
in it. House of El. What the L. And then... it's a totally pointless scene because it doesn't do anything for the plot except he kills Jor-El.
Right.
That's the one thing. So I guess that makes him the villain then because he's killed Superman's dad. So now Superman has to do something back to him.
Yeah,
I guess.
You got your Batman plot now.
But who cares? Because that's not Superman's character. He's not about vengeance.
By the way, that was the same mistake with Batman when they had the Joker kill the Wayne family and the old Tim Burton version. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it that really sews every button up, but that's not who the character is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other sad thing about that was it means Laura dies alone, which is like one of the most iconic images is her and Jor-El, and they're hugging
and they're
watching the rocket go away and the planet's blowing up. But you know what? It's okay because the future's there. And this one, he left like a little while ago and she's just standing there to get burned to death.
Well, that's why.
And we watch her burn to death. Hooray!
Yeah, that's terrible too. And that's why. That's why you needed to have it so it intercuts. So you have the General Zod getting and his cohorts getting sentenced to the Phantom Zone, getting sent to the Phantom Zone, intercut with Jor-El and Lara, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Putting Kal-El into his capsule and sending him off towards Earth.
Which is something that's always bugged me on Krypton. It's like everyone else has a name like, you know, Kal and Zor and Kruel, and what's your name? Laura. Really?
Okay. But isn't it Lara? Like
L-A-R-A. But that's still an Earth name. It's just like everyone's like, I'm Quantar's. I'm Quantar 5, and this is my wife, Diana. Hello, Diana. Say hello to Zokmar and his wife, Mary Sue. It's like, what the hell? Just give a little extra effort. And like, Laxar. Call her something. Put an X in it.
Yeah.
And then you got a fine name.
Well, I think they wanted like a kind of a beautiful name, though, which Laxar doesn't really fit that.
Well, just make something up. Yeah, well, all right, continue.
So if they had had intercut that, it would have, one, telescoped that sequence remarkably. It's made it much shorter.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Would have made it more, you wouldn't have that pointless scene of them fighting while the thing is going through this, like, half an hour long ignition sequence. I don't know why the rocket is so inefficient, but
that does take a long time.
It does take a hell of a long time.
Well, it's also a drag because, like, when Jor-El is doing his UFC fighting of the four soldiers,
that's
he goes, prep the rocket by the time they get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Is it still warming up? I don't know if
I don't know if I should prep the... Yeah. Prep the fucking rocket! What, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then the other thing I didn't really like about... So, okay, let's just get past Krypton.
Right. Krypton's a stone-cold drag.
It's a stone-cold drag. And looks stone. It looks like stone.
Yeah, you got one character that you'd see and like everything who goes... And then you got like a flying dragon beast. By the way, let me just say something.
From the heavy metal poster.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Flying dragon beast who like, you know, shows up and flies him to where he's going.
Yeah.
And then Jor-El does a suicide leap and flying dragon beast just comes in like superstar,
grabs
him. Good for you, flying dragon beast.
Yeah.
He takes him where he's going to go. Dragon beast like collapses exhausted.
Yeah.
And you just see Jor-El doesn't give two shits.
Yeah.
Fuck you, dragon beast. You know what I need? A little pet on the head for dragon beast for saving your life.
That would have been nice.
And like giving a damn. And also, you know, he's going to be dead soon, so how about a little bit of love for dragon flying guy? Continue.
So
I'm gonna say continue a lot.
What I thought was disappointing in the next stage of the disappointment was the fact that we don't immediately have like the Ma and Pa Kent time with Superman. Like that's an important part of his life,
mm-hmm.
but we don't get that. It suddenly cuts to him as an adult, being kind of mysterious. and doing some rescuing.
Right.
I don't want to go too much into details. It's really not that important. It's just kind of a bunch of noise and stuff's happening.
Basically, he did all the same jobs Wolverine did in the movie Wolverine.
It's kind of neato.
He went up north. He did some work, bummed around.
When he opens the door and the guys are in there and he's standing there aflame, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, you're kind of like, okay, what's going on?
And
like,
he's also shirtless, so you're not a little something for certain fellas and certain ladies.
Something for the ladies. And the ladies who are also men. What, doesn't sound very nice, is it? Anyway.
Hate crime.
Hate crime jar. Clink. I mean, the problem with sequences like that is that you haven't been introduced to the character, so you haven't.
It'd be funny if he comes in, by the way, and they see him, and he's covered in fire.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh my gosh, the Human Torch.
No.
Wrong universe.
No, wrong universe.
Yeah, wrong. No. That's Marvel, we're DC. We're the happy-go-lucky. No, we're not really happy.
Can we be rescued by the Marvel guys? They seem to have more fun.
You know what I mean, right? Like I know we know it's Superman.
Yeah.
But we have absolutely no, we haven't placed any kind of emotional connection to this character. And suddenly he's doing like daring things and he's groaning while he's holding something up.
Right.
But we're kind of indifferent to it because we haven't, you know, we've seen him as a little baby.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we saw his capsule land on Earth. And
right.
And then it cuts to him as a bearded adult. Working on a fishing boat.
He looks like Hercules. He looks like Steve Reeves. Is that the guy who played Hercules, Steve Reeves?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Steve Reeves.
He's a handsome man.
He looks good with a shirt off.
He looks really great with it. And he looks nice. He's like a handsome Superman sort of.
Absolutely.
Has that chiseled features and the nice dark hair.
Yeah.
He's a very handsome person.
He looks like he was genetically superior to us.
Yeah, he is.
He is, that's true.
That's a fact.
Yeah. I know he was a natural birth, but, you know, he was from two genetically superior people, so
yeah. So that's kind of a drag to me. And I know that there's flashbacks that happen throughout the film.
Here's
that keeps
just
taking
in
you
general,
back.
Like from Smallville on.
But it's too episodic.
Superman, being Superman from Smallville on, and maybe a little before then, has become a huge drag.
Yeah.
That's something they go with. Is just like, are you Superman? Ugh. You don't want to be Superman because Superman sucks. It sucks to be Superman. Maybe later you help people, but it's still like, ugh, life's hard. Like you should with Superman to me, like, oh, I wish I was Superman. I'd like to dress up like Superman. Mm-hmm. I'd like to fly like Superman. Sure. It'd be great to be Superman.
Just like you and Ray Davies.
Yeah. I don't know what's a reference.
It's okay. All the Kinks fans out there laughing their heads off.
Is that a Superman song by
the
Kinks?
There's a song, Superman. I wish I could fly like Superman.
Very good. I'll go with Sunshine Superman by Donovan. Let me counter with that.
Sure.
I can go Pocket Full of Kryptonite. I can go Jimmy Olsen's Blues. I can go Superman song by... All right, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a drag to be Superman.
We know you're a nerd. You don't have to show off.
Yeah, I am. But, like, come on, man. Like, what's the point if you're not going to enjoy being this?
And, by the way, thank you for reminding us of the Spin Doctors. Everyone had forgotten about it. They'd put the 90s behind us, and you had to bring it up.
Right.
Way to go.
Just in general, you know, I understand you want to make it a more adult thing, but when you make something more adult, when you make something more mature, you don't have to suck all the joy
out of it. There's a reason it also has the word dull in it.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to suck all the joy and the fun to make it more adult. Don't be ashamed of what it is. It's Superman. It should be a little bit of,
Yeah.
Like, you should have a little of that, or like,
well, that's what
Ooh.
I was saying. Like, someone, when he takes off, someone should be like, holy fuck!
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. Like, you just flew, but everyone's kind of like, wow, yeah, the guy flew.
No one seems to give a shit when he flies.
No one's ever
Everyone's like, yeah, I'm on board.
I'm okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just very odd. I finally had to say it after this film, which is I'm kind of done with Zack Snyder. Like, fool me once, shame on me. No, you. Fool me 14 different fucking movies, shame on me. Because, man.
Saw him live once. We saw him.
Yeah. He seemed like a nice guy.
We saw him live and he showed the opening titles of Watchmen and that was great.
Yeah.
And he showed the opening scene of Watchmen and that was great. And he showed a little bit of Rorschach in the prison. That was pretty good.
And I didn't like that.
You didn't like that? Fair enough. But it was like, oh, this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
And then when you see the movie, it's just like, eh. And then there's Sucker Punch. You're like, eh. And then there's 300. And like, eh. And the guy, it's like, to me, just if I'm going to give like a general statement, it felt like it was a very cynical movie done by people with the best of intentions. And I can see every decision made by them being the best of intentions and done with good spirit. But
I disagree with you.
Okay, you tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, because you said that they are cynical. Well, then you can't have best good intentions if you're cynical.
Yes, you can. I think people can unconsciously be, see, I think you can assemble a bunch of elements together that you think are hopeful and joyful and amazing and are great and honor the character, but you put them all together and you can't step far enough away from the woods to see what it really is. And then when you're left with something, when you put it all together, it's just like cynical because there's no moment of like,
well, there's no heart in the film. There's no heart. Like, you never feel any connection.
The
like
the parents, both sets of parents, it's weird because they also both have very weird relationships with the women in their lives. Jor-El is very bossy to Laura. You know, she says at one point that she can't do this, and he's like, no, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, you know, it's just like a weird relationship. And then Ma and Pa, you know what Pa feels. Yeah. Pa feels everyone's going to be scared of you.
Yeah.
So keep your light under a bushel, buddy. Mm-hmm. Stay in the closet until you're 33.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy messed this kid up bad.
Yeah.
You know, he ends up like himself, you know, being killed because of fear.
Yeah.
Because he goes like, people will be so scared to see you save me that, you know, shit will go down. So just let me die. Mm-hmm. But you never know what the mom feels. You know why? Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
At all.
It really
doesn't. Mom's opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah. Women.
Yeah. Ladies. Am I right? And then you're like, okay, then Lois Lane has to carry the female, brunt of this movie.
But the movie's so terribly written that she has nothing.
Well, what she does is she states, okay, when you write...
What the writer does is make her... Go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, what do you... A movie or a TV show is you make a Bible and do a character Bible and you go like, this character is, you know, they got a heart of gold, but they're a sass mouth.
Yeah.
And the one thing you don't want to do is have one character go, you know what? That character is a heart of gold, but has a sass mouth. That's the second worst thing you can do. First worst thing you can do is have the character go, listen, I got to tell you something before we get started.
Yeah.
I got a sass mouth, but I got a heart of gold.
Yes.
That's the worst one you can do. And the first
is that worse than works every time?
Oh, that's not... You know. We're talking a drama right now. So the first thing out of the gate, Lois Lane says to a military guy, she mentions, you know, I only feel... I get writer's block if I'm not wearing a flak jacket.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm a real action
hound. To be fair, he does compliment her on her article she wrote on the Iraq War.
But
so
the first thing out of the gate, she's letting the character know... Yeah. That like, hey, this is what I'm like, buddy.
It's,
I'm brave.
No,
okay.
You're
later,
right.
Like maybe about 10 minutes later in the movie, maybe 15, she's in the office with Perry White. Mm-hmm. First time we see Perry White and her. And she says to Perry White, like, I'm not running this story. Listen, she says, I'm a Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, to which he should say, I know.
And there's a little arrow that appears and kind of blinks, pointing towards her. Bing.
Yeah.
Bing,
it's like if you're an actor going like, I won an Academy Award. It's like you would never. Oh, that's the laziest.
No one's good. Well, it's...
Well, you want Perry
right.
is to go. It's like, listen, Lois, I know you're a Pulitzer Prize winning. You know, and again, that's the second worst thing you can say.
You don't want that.
Having her say it is the worst thing you can say. Yeah. What you want is a third character, you know, of saying something.
You don't even need to say that.
Well, you do. You do have to do that. You can go like, she's sure fallen a long way since she won that Pulitzer. Like, you can do that as a snide
maybe later.
Thing. Or
maybe.
You have the fucking Pulitzer on her desk, and you can go like, eh? You get it.
There,
Pulitzer Prize.
I would know.
Eh?
I would know what a Pulitzer Prize looked like if it fell on me.
All you need to do is pan the desk, see a Pulitzer. Well, it says Pulitzer. And then you see like a picture of her like out in the field with some soldiers. And you see her like, you know, they're in the hospital with like a thing of cast on her arm.
Yeah.
And you see like what she's like, and there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
As I say always, Dave, continue.
Well, I mean, well, let's just carry on from what you're talking about.
I say one thing real quick.
No. It's too late. You turned the...
And they replaced, speaking of like, there's only one
more. Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, there's only one more. I'm going to filibuster this. There's only one more lady in the group, right? So it's like, okay, there's one last chance for redemption in this.
Yeah.
One good fully developed female character. Okay, what do we got? Well, we've replaced Jimmy Olsen.
Yes.
With anything like...
You should, because he's a guy. You don't want to have too many guys in the movie.
There you go. You got Jenny Olsen.
Jenny Olsen, yeah.
But you don't call her Jenny Olsen because everyone in the audience is going to go, a boo. Okay, so she's Jenny Olsen.
So she's referred to as Jay Olsen throughout the film.
So when you think Jimmy Olsen, the character, what do you think?
Photographer?
You think a photographer? He's a cub reporter. Yeah. He's always wanting to get the scoop.
He's Superman's pal?
Yeah, he's a pal. He wants to take pictures. He wants to get where the action
is. He's an eager beaver.
People don't take him seriously.
Yeah.
How about,
he's
I'm scared of everything. hey, what? The evil's coming. Save me, Mr. White.
Yeah.
Don't save yourself. Don't leave me. Save me, everybody. Yeah. So that's the new Jimmy Olsen is, I'm a scared. Yeah, that.
Well, if I can pick up a little bit from what you're saying about Lois Lane, which is that the movie is very badly written, and it suffers from...
You said the movie was written by who?
David S. Goyer.
Yes, but okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Written by
whom? It felt like it was written by...
I don't know.
An alien, you said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, is this person a human being who wrote this film? Because there's like no human moments in the film.
By the way, David S. Goyer has written some great movies.
Such
so
as?
It's a weird one. Almost anything superhero-y, he's really good. Mm. He might be in charge of a movie someone I'm related to might be
Okay, so you don't want me to say too much about it.
Just
don't
say too much about David. Okay. Let's not slam David S. Goyer.
I'm going to slam him, though, because he has the same...
You can slam the script.
He has a problem that's not just... It's not common to just that movie, which is nowadays writers aren't able to write characters. So what they do is they write characters talking about themselves or to each other about themselves.
Yes.
So another example of that would be the scene of... Obi-Wan and Anakin in an elevator at the beginning of the second Star Wars film.
Already sounds terrible.
Where they're just...
they're in an elevator.
That's right. They're in an elevator and they're discussing a thing, you know, something about falling into a Gunga pit or whatever, something like that, right? Or
a
den of Gungans or whatever.
That's right.
And it's... but we never see it. It's just them talking about it and it's supposed to make us realize, oh, they're friends or they have this relationship with each other. But it's meaningless to us because, one, we don't know what Gungans or Gungas are. So we don't know what they're talking about. That's not funny what they're saying,
right?
Even though they're laughing, it's not funny. It'd be like if we sat here and just told, you know, private jokes about things we said at dinner to each other,
right?
And then tried to make a show around it, it would be meaningless to the audience, right?
Right.
And the same thing in this movie, it's the same thing. The characters, you know, no one knows how to make a Lois, you know, interesting or convey her character through her actions or through the story,
which is
without just having people say it as words. You know, she's a famous reporter. She has a Pulitzer Prize. She's very brave. She's a spunky reporter. You know, just stuff like, you know. Yeah. So,
whereas Lois, how you do Lois is Lois goes farther than a person should, gets into trouble, and there you go. And that's how you get how you get a Lois story.
It's
unless
the
it's
same...
the 50s, in which case I want to get Superman to marry me and then boo. Yeah.
It's the same reason why we have two different characters giving us backstory that we've already seen.
Oh, it's over and
because
over again.
You can't...
repeating the backstory and the destiny.
So rather than having the actor act out his emotions and tell us things through his expressions, through his actions, it's all told to you.
Yeah.
You know, because that's easier to write than to actually try to think of how people would react. And like I say, it feels like it's written by an alien because never in the film is there a moment where someone does something that seems human or even seems alien.
Yeah. It's also weird, like... you have that scene off the top, and you got to have this kind of scene where there's the bully. We got a couple of bullies, but you have a scene where there's a bully in a truck stop kind of situation, right? And he's working, and Superman's working as a cocktail waitress, which is weird. He's in a full dress.
He's working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
When he met you.
When he met.
All right. So there's a trucker there, and the trucker's harassing.
He doesn't want me, baby.
is harassing the waitress and like slapping her ass.
Yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
Knock it off. And he's like, I don't want to knock it off because I'm this kind of guy.
Yeah.
So Clark goes up and does the old, hey, buddy, you know, knock it off. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to what? And okay, now you got a couple of military guys there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting at the bar, clean cut military guys.
Yeah.
And they, I don't know if they see this or not.
They do. They chuckle at.
Well, this is the weird thing. They, first of all, it's like, you military guys are cool with the truckers harassing the lady. That's one that's
They are
weird.
In the military, to be fair.
All right. Fair enough. And then he stands up for them.
Yeah.
And he gets like a beer poured on his head.
Yeah.
And everyone at the table laughs because they're assholes. But then the military guys laugh as well.
Yeah. I know.
And you're like, what the fuck is the world full of just complete dicks?
Once again, to
dicks?
Be fair, they are in the military.
Okay, you can actually, and you know what? I don't actually mind this, as in, like, you know, a lot of people are dicks,
yeah.
But Superman will show up and people will get better.
Yeah.
They will be inspired by Superman, they will get better. Oh. But you never get that. Like, the worst.
How does he inspire them in that scene?
They don't. That's the thing. It's like, what you want is later on in the movie, those guys to learn something or the other guy to learn something.
The thing is hilarious is the trucker goes outside.
Yeah.
And his truck is impaled on three. He drives a logging truck.
Yeah.
His truck cab is impaled on three logs.
Right.
By Superman. Which one is? Did he feel better after that? No, he didn't. Did he not make a lot of noise impaling a logging truck on three logs? You think that would make kind of racket?
Yeah, and maybe that's why the guy would run out.
You'd
and
think
see.
Someone would notice.
Okay, but here's
that
the
happening.
Thing. Superman 2, which is kind of regarded as the best of the Superman movies.
Yeah.
The worst scene that's in that. Well, there's a lot of bad scenes in Superman 2. Let's be honest about it. There's some good things in Superman 2. There are some bad things in Superman 2.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's like, ugh, is where
the cunnilingus scene. It's too much.
Okay, sure.
I might have seen an early cut.
Yeah, that was the Donner cut.
the Donner party.
Okay, whatever you want it to be. But Superman loses his powers, goes into a diner, and a guy beats him up.
Yeah,
beats him up as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
All right. Later, at the end of the movie, he goes back when he's got his powers and beats the shit out of the guy.
Great.
Not a Superman-y thing to do.
No, no.
You might do the old throw a punch at him and like let him hurt himself. That's maybe okay.
It's a nerd fantasy, though.
It's fantasy, but it's not right.
And it's not right, Superman. I know, but you can understand why they did it. Right. It's nerd fantasy.
So this is almost, this is like just like that, but like it has the same problems that it makes you know, Superman look petty to be like right off the top he deals with a bully that way. Everyone's okay, and let me throw one other quick thing out of character.
Sure.
Because I've gone through why all the women are out of character. Perry White.
Yes.
Now, all Perry White has going for him is that he's the best damn newsman in the business.
He sure is.
That's his thing.
Yep.
He is the best. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's two things that happen. One, Lois brings him a story that's a true story about aliens on Earth.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't run this. Not necessarily because there's no evidence. He says that there's not enough evidence.
Yeah.
But he goes like, if people knew about this, could you imagine what would happen in the world? Which is what Pa Kent is doing.
I think you're kind of conflating the scene, but that's okay. Go on.
Okay, but this is someone who's saying, he's like, even if this was true, I wouldn't run this.
Yeah.
He won't run this because it would have the impact on the world that would be destructive.
Well, she comes to the same conclusion, by the way, but anyway.
Okay. Well, no. She comes to the conclusion that it would hurt the person who's helping people.
Yeah.
Not that the world isn't ready for it.
Okay.
Bit different.
Sure.
And so that's the first setup with Perry. You're like, did I really see Perry do that? Kind of go, the world isn't ready, so I'm not going to tell them news they're not ready for.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing for a newsman to do. Next thing that happens is someone goes on the news and says Lois Lane knows who Superman is. And Perry calls her up and goes, listen, fuck journalistic integrity. He doesn't say it that way.
Yeah.
But he does say, forget journalistic integrity. This is about the world. You've got to do this. You know. And so Perry White, whose whole deal is I'm the best newsman, is going, screw journalism. It's not important.
Yeah.
The important thing is everything else. And it's like, okay, then you're a crap editor of a thing. And that's all you are. So now your character just goes to shit. And then later he like rescues Jiminy Cricket Olsen, from a thing. By the way, he never sees Superman when he does that, so he's not inspired by Superman.
Yeah.
So Superman makes no one better, and that's just the thing. And news doesn't matter.
Well,
Superman.
Who
gets inspired by Superman in this movie?
Well, I mean, it's just
Lois,
it's kind of him beginning, so I don't think that's really what they were going on about.
You look at there was a movie called Batman Begins, and here's how Batman Begins works. The city of Gotham is corrupt.
Yeah.
Batman shows up, Gotham gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham becomes less corrupt by the end of it.
Yeah.
Superman should be the same deal. It's like people are cynical and so. Superman shows up, people are better off at the end for Superman being there, whereas this movie, people are way worse. Because Jor-El sent Superman to Earth. Way worse.
People are way worse, or people's situation is way worse?
Well, a lot of dead people.
Yeah.
Basically, because Jor-El went, I'm sending my kid to Earth.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of people, at minimum, died.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think you can blame Jor-El for that.
You know what? I think Jor-El sending a baby to Earth that he knows will have superpowers and be a god, I think that's a bit dangerous.
I guess that's true. He does say that, and that's a bit odd. It's a kind of an odd thing to say, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of
how will they kill him? They won't be able to. He'll be like a god to them. Well, I'm going to send him there. That's good. Nice.
Very responsible.
I'm going to put this pit bull in the middle of these chickens,
and
I hope those chickens will teach him how to. And maybe he will teach the chickens.
But you're
as
talking
well.
About the rapper.
Which rapper is that?
Pibble.
Pibble? Is there a rapper called Pibble?
Pitbull, yeah.
Okay.
You never heard of him?
I've never heard of him.
Okay. He's an odd fellow. He looks like he's about 50. And he's kind of the...
Oh, there really is
he's
one.
He's kind of the rapper du jour.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he's in there, all the kind of hit songs right now.
Nice, good
And yeah, he starts off by going, woo-wee, and then he starts his rap.
Okay.
Every time.
All right.
Yeah. Pibble.
Now, you had a good idea about General Zod.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me just talk about a couple of other things.
Talk about whatever you want,
and then
brother.
I'll come to that.
Whatever you want.
Because I just want to kind of go on more about the writing.
You guys are okay with us talking about this, right?
There's a secret.
You guys are all sort of nerds, right? I know a lot of you. And let's be honest. A lot of black shirts. Okay, go ahead.
A lot of black... Are they Nazis?
No. That's the brown shirts. Black shirts are what nerds wear. We all wear black shirts.
Okay.
And we go to see movies.
Okay. So,
black shirts hide a lot of sins, and you can eat snacks, and no one will see what falls on your shirt.
So, I find hot black shirts really warm. But I do wear them at the gym, actually, so you might be right.
Because you like to look cool.
I do like to look cool.
You look like a cool cat.
I'm a cool cat.
You also have a beret and you have a cigarette.
Well, I'm at the gym, and that's like a cup of espresso.
Yep.
While I'm on the
while you're on the cross trainer
on the treadmill. Yep. Yeah. So there's a scene where Superman and Lois Lane kiss.
Oh,
I don't want to give away anything. And then she kisses and she goes, "You know what they say?" What did she say? "You know what they say? Everything is downhill after the first kiss." That's a quote. That's a line, right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, "What? Who says that? That is not a common expression. Why would you even say that?"
Dave, like, I'll tell you who says that. You know who says that?
What's that?
Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist.
Alien screenwriters. That's who says it. This is a common thing that people say.
Well, the weird thing about that
after that first kiss, it's all downhill.
It's the first. Like, that takes place about maybe 1.5, like maybe 90 minutes in. I don't know. It's like just under it, maybe 70 minutes in, and that's the first joke in the movie.
It's not even a joke.
Okay, but it's
irritating.
It's definitely a joke. Like, it's set up like a joke. You know what they say? Ba de boo ba de boo ba de boo. It's clearly a joke. Like, it's got a joke structure, right?
Well, you know what's
funny? It's a script doctor line. There was a... They went through the whole script, yeah. And they needed to, and someone went, "Let's throw a joke in there," and they went, "Good enough," and they did pass, and they put that one joke in, and they put no jokes in, honestly, except for maybe at the end, for the rest of the film.
Yes.
It's humorless.
I know.
Not a damn laugh in the thing.
That's why Dole is an adult.
They did too much, to be fair, in the original Superman movie, where it's like a tube was playing and a fat guy's walking down the street. There's a bit too much of that. There's a lot of falling on the bomb and like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Mr. Luthor." It's like, okay, all right. Listen, there's comedy relief and then there's comedy tsunami. Let's just calm it down.
And then there's this other great line when Superman is fighting
a female
villain.
Warrior,
yeah. And she's, of course, yakking away like a mile a minute while she's throwing him around this small town.
Right.
That's a ridiculous scene as well. Let me just go back up a little bit before that scene. Yeah.
Another lady with no character, except she's basically a Klingon.
Ma Kent is under threat from these various evil Zod and his cohorts.
Right.
Superman comes tearing in.
Right. The gang of toughs is at the farm.
They're at the farm.
All of
them. They've thrown a truck through the family house.
All of them can throw a truck.
Yeah.
All of them are strong enough to throw a truck.
Yeah.
And one of them's like, "I'm going to talk." Yeah. And they've already tossed Ma aside.
Yeah.
Probably broken her arm.
Yeah. She's hurt. And then Superman comes tearing in, you know, grappling Zod. And then, you know, his force carries them both through a grain silo.
Right.
This smashes right through it. So the pity the poor guy's working in that place.
Right. By the way, that will set grain on fire, will it not?
Any spark,
will that not set wheat or grain on fire?
The dust inside, yeah, is pretty flammable, so
yeah.
It's possible. And then they go smashing into Smallville.
Right.
Right into the main street, through a
Absolutely.
Couple of buildings.
Yeah.
And then the town is just
blow up the gas station.
Go to the gas station.
That's 7-Eleven, which you assume someone must be in working there at
that's
least.
That's right. I mean, that's the end of the Slurpees.
Yeah.
What are people going to do?
Hopefully, the only thing that could save the guy is if he was by the Slurpee machine,
covered
himself
that's
in Slurpee
really fast.
As the gasoline, lit gasoline hit him.
That's right.
Okay.
And the thing is that I can excuse like that kind of damage done by the villains.
Mm-hmm.
Villains do damage. That's what villains do.
Sure.
The hero should not be smashing up half the town, you know, football tackling General Zod. The other crazy thing is his mom is back at the farm surrounded by all the other heavies.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
There's five
you
villains.
You certainly defended her. Now you're stuck in town leveling it.
Yeah.
Fighting, I think Zod's gone by that point because he his mask comes off and he's disoriented by the atmosphere. So then he's fighting this woman warrior, and she's yakking away, and she goes, she's telling him like he's weak because he has empathy, and blah blah blah, which is like the common line. And then she goes, "Evolution always wins," and I just love that line
so
much.
If history has taught us anything,
oh yeah, if history has taught us it,
it's that evolution always wins.
Which this killed me because I'm just like, it's a process. It doesn't win or lose. It just is.
Yeah.
It's a thing that happens. You can't say it won. Like, well, how did it win? It made us.
Yeah. It's also like saying
it made a leech.
It's sort of like saying winners always win too.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just
right.
like it's self
this thing that I self-defined. It's there's a winning. It's won.
Yeah, and there's another flaw in that one of the big things about Krypton is
they
have stopped evolving.
Yeah,
they have just they're at genetically locked
as a culture. They're this extremely hierarchical.
Right.
You know,
these guys
class.
culture. That's right. These are master racers who have gone like, this is the best we're going to be.
Yeah.
We got to lock it in, man.
Yeah.
They don't believe in evolution. They don't have their bag.
They don't have normal, they don't have birth. Yeah. The births are done in a some kind of other system and some
sort
of tank.
You're a warrior. You're a this, you're a that. So, okay. So first of all, no one should say this thing because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But of all the people that shouldn't say it, you are the person who should not say it the most.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, but then, okay, now here's the big thing.
It sounded so great at the table reading.
Yeah, you got General Zod. Now, General Zod has done, you know, it comes down to like just Superman and General Zod. He's the big baddie. He's the worst guy.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy. You're standing in so much destruction.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Look at all the destruction. And Zod says to him everything I've done because I was programmed from birth.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
Yeah.
Let me say, programmed.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. No choice. To protect Kryptonians.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. No matter how cruel, he says, no matter how brutal, I do this all to protect Kryptonians.
Yeah.
Okay, now two problems.
And I say...
Well, there's two problems. One, this means Zod is not a villain. This means he has no free will.
Yeah.
This means he can't help what he's done, and you've killed everyone else who can't do what they've done.
Yeah.
So basically, you've just murdered innocent people who have been murdering innocent people.
It's a good argument against the belief in predestination.
Right. Okay. So, but he's set it up like, listen, buddy, the one thing that I believe in and can't not even believe, I am programmed at a genetic level to protect Kryptonians.
Yeah.
There's only one other Kryptonian in the world.
This is what killed me in the movie.
And now I'm going to kill you, motherfucker. Yeah. It's like, no, this is the one thing you can't do.
Exactly.
You have to now, as you say, just have him then go, and so I'm leaving. Or I'm going...
I can't leave. They can't leave that because that's too much of a...
Okay.
That's too much of a cliffhanger. Like, you have to have a resolution in this moment, right?
Right.
The movie has to resolve.
Okay, but, like, he could either, one, he could, like, fly into... He could, like, put himself back in the Phantom Zone. He could do a lot of things because he can't even kill himself. You were mentioning...
Well, the Phantom Zone thing is closed, right?
Possibly.
It closes up
or,
and it's
or
done.
Like, fly... But here's the thing. He can... His one deal is, I can't hurt Kryptonians.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Because there we go. All right, so...
This is what I... When I was watching, I was thinking to myself, okay, well, he's got to surrender now.
Yeah, he's got to surrender.
Yeah.
He's got to either maybe kill himself, but he can't kill himself.
He's a warrior.
But he can't kill himself because he's a Kryptonian as well. So he can't...
He
you
can
know,
kill
these
himself.
These are the only two Kryptonians in the world. He should not...
But he knows that he's a danger to Krypton. So he has to protect Krypton.
Okay.
And the only way to do that is for him to kill himself.
The one thing he can't do is he can't fight Superman at this point because Superman is now the last Kryptonian.
It's not that he's
alive.
The last Kryptonian. He contains within him
as well.
The genetic heritage of Krypton.
But we've established that you don't have to take that out if he's alive. So he can be dead. That's what the one guy says, like, can he be dead? Yeah, that's fine. But, like, this is the only Kryptonian that's around.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is the one person that you can't.
This is where the movie, this is where that part of the movie, that this should have been the kind of final climactic scene is General Zod, just like doing Harakiri or some sort of Kryptonian equivalent thereof, or taking off... You know, he should have been wearing his mask and taking off his mask and you know, just letting himself die or maybe just flying off into the sun. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
just some
when,
sort of...
That's when he actually pulls out kryptonite for the first time. Superman has no idea what that shit is.
Yeah.
Boom,
yeah.
He dies.
Yeah.
Whatever, that any of those would
it's
work.
That. Instead, it turns into They Live. And they have, like, the 10-minute Rowdy Roddy Piper. I can't remember the other actor's name, sorry.
Right.
They have their giant, you know, the 15-minute long... battle, which in They Live is a parody of that kind of action movie meeting, guys meet, fight, and then become friends.
And in doing so, kill even more people in the city.
Oh my gosh, so many buildings are destroyed by them. It's not even funny.
Yeah, it's not even a win by the end of it. You can't possibly at the end go like, Metropolis is, hey, everything's back to normal, which it is at the end, it seems like.
And what's interesting is when they're fighting, there's a scene where they're fighting on a construction site, and General Zod, you know, pushes Superman and he crashes into a sign, which has a humorous in that moment meaning to it. I can't remember what it was now. I'm sorry. It's like a safety sign.
Oh, yes, I do know what it means. It says, like, you know, 169 days without an accident.
That's right. But they totally obscure it because they don't want to have a joke.
Yeah, it's too
they don't
want to
have a
that
joke.
Point,
that's right. They're like, no, the joke doesn't work here because it's, you know, it's too serious.
Yeah.
These guys are fighting for their to death and blah, 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 blah. And worst of all, and this is where the movie sins most of all, is the final scene of Zod and Superman. And folks, this is the real spoiler. I hate to tell you this.
Can I interrupt 1 second just to say something that happened right when you were talking?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. Just before they do that semi-humorous thing,
mm-hmm.
Zod has a girder.
Yeah.
He's about to hit Superman with a girder.
Yeah.
And Superman's, oh, a girder! And he uses his heat vision to melt it.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get to use it. Now, here's the thing.
He does use it anyway, but...
Okay, but if Zod hits you with a girder, Who gives a fuck? It's going to just break on you. The end. I don't care how strong you are. That thing just shatters. It's like I'm coming at you with a piece of styrofoam.
Well, it's General Zod who's as strong as you hitting you with something.
But
I think it would still hurt.
If we're two guys who are superhuman, it's basically like you and me fighting in styrofoam.
So Superman doesn't feel pain?
Well, he does feel pain, but he doesn't feel pain from a girder hitting him.
Why not?
Why would that hurt him? It's like you and me fighting in styrofoam town. I got a styrofoam bat, and I hit you, and it smacks over your head, and it shatters.
I don't think
Who
Superman
gives a damn.
I don't think that
well,
he doesn't feel pain.
This is what bugs me. Like when he hits the ground, he's like, "Oh, what hurt you? Like hitting the ground hurt you? It didn't, because earlier you fell from the sky and you hit the ground and you were fine. What does the ground hurt you or not? What's up with what hurts you? What doesn't?
Where does he fall on the ground and get hurt?
When he learns how to Zod is just like smashing him into the ground.
Well, that would hurt.
Why would it?
Because you're being smashed by someone who is as strong as you.
But
into
does,
the ground.
But does the ground resist you enough to like cause you pain?
Well, you're being thrown in. Yeah, it doesn't resist you enough you're being thrown into it with such force that it would hurt you.
Okay.
And like when you're just jumping around and playing. Basically, he's playing, trying to learn how to fly.
Okay.
I mean, there's a difference, right? I mean, those two situations.
I wonder. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like, whenever they show, like, you know, you're throwing Superman through a building, does that hurt Superman? Or is it like, I'm being thrown through pudding?
Yes, it hurts Superman.
All right, fair enough. All right, now go.
Because he has feelings. I mean, he can still feel things.
He can feel, but he can't. Okay. All right, so...
otherwise, he'd be a menace to himself.
We're getting the big finale.
What happened to your arm, Superman? What? Oh.
big finale.
The big finale, yeah. I mean, well, I'm just going to give it away, which is that he breaks General Zod's neck and kills him.
Why does he do this, Dave?
Because General Zod is using his heat vision to try to kill a family of humans.
Okay,
Puny humans!
Right. Have we killed, by this point, tens of thousands of people in their fight?
Probably.
But these three are too much.
This is too much. This will not stand.
Too much has had enough.
This will not stand.
And why does he kill him? Like, that seems strange for Superman to do, Dave.
Yeah, that's...
Why is that?
I don't know why.
Exactly. That's why. It's dumb.
It's dumb.
Like,
because they shouldn't even go to that scene. I mean, the Zod should be dead before then. I think if you'd had him, you know, if you like, leave or off himself or whatever happens... That's the end of that.
Yeah.
You do not need the four-hour fight sequence of them smashing up the rest of Metropolis that happens to still be standing after it gets destroyed.
This is the big problem a lot of people have is like Superman does not kill.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one real – what's the deal with Batman? Batman does not use a gun.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Batman. Does not use a gun. What's the deal with Superman?
He uses a gun of love.
Superman does not kill. That's a big thing. And so what they have...
He doesn't have to. He's smart enough to not have to kill.
Right. That's the thing. Like, Superman is there, and the argument that I've heard has been like, well, he had no option.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's what you think about when you think Superman, a guy with limited options. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, come on. He's not Superman. Oh, wait a second. He is Superman.
Yeah.
So Superman, to me, Superman, you know, if Superman doesn't have a way, Superman finds a way. It's like Batman tied to the crazy machine no one could ever escape from, but he can escape from it. Why? Because he's Batman, for hell. You know, it's just like, that's the thing. Superman finds a way because he does the right thing. Now, I understand they're going like, it's the early Superman. He's going to learn later. But the problem is, once you've killed one dude,
mm-hmm.
like cold-blooded killed one dude, like I guess hot-blooded, killed one dude.
He was pretty angry.
You know, then, well, that ship has sailed, man.
Yeah.
It was like in comics, you know, a couple of years ago, Wonder Woman was in a similar situation.
Yes.
And there was a guy who had mental powers and was possessing Superman and was going to get Superman to kill some people. And so Wonder Woman snapped the guy's neck,
uh-huh.
killed him. And
didn't
and,
use like some sort of a force field globe thingy that cuts off the psychic powers.
Yeah, didn't use any of that.
Yeah.
You know, just like snapped.
Because that would be too hard to do.
And the way they went with it was like Wonder Woman had no choice.
Uh-huh.
And I feel the same way about it is like, what's the difference between a hero and a superhero? They can do more than we can.
Yeah.
They'll find the choice. There's something to inspire people. There's something to aspire to.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just, just like you and me. There's a difference between the Punisher and Batman, you know? And there's this difference between Superman and every other superhero. If Superman doesn't set the standard, then there is no standard. And it's a drag that, like, you look at the Avengers and go, like, those guys should be the more street-level kind of, you know, dudes. Mm-hmm. But, like... No, you wouldn't. You know, they were more noble than Superman was. And a very similar situation.
But there's an example, like, in Avengers, you don't have them finishing off the aliens and then having a half-an-hour fight against Loki.
Mm.
You know? Like, in Superman...
It was much better paced, yeah.
Superman, I mean, that whole secondary fight, it's just a fake climax.
Yeah.
Which my wife is very familiar with.
Oh.
What? Did he go there? Put another nickel in the... Wife jar? Anyway,
yeah, put another nickel in the wife jar. Dave has to always bring a jar home to his wife every time he mentions her in the show. When she came and did an appearance on the show, we had to pay her so
much. Oh my gosh. her appearance fees are pretty astronomical.
It's weird, actually, how many similarities there were to this movie to Marvel movies. Like in the opening where he's just bumming around trying to find himself, that's Wolverine.
Yeah.
When it's the small town fight with the villain, it's Thor. It's okay. like, you know, I'm going, oh, you've got the 7-Eleven just like the other 7-Eleven.
Okay.
But Thor doesn't Thor doesn't get half the town killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're fighting in Metropolis. Well, they were fighting in Manhattan, but, you know, they don't destroy all of New York. You know, a chunk of New York gets, you know, messed up.
Mostly the Stark building.
Mostly the Stark building. But, you know, they actually really cared about people and, like, making sure people were okay.
Yeah, there's lots of scenes of them being heroic and saving people.
That's the thing. Superman is not heroic. Yeah. Superman, basically, through this is...
A brute.
Yeah, Superman is scared to death for 33 years because of what his first dad said. Then his second dad shows up and goes, your destiny is this. Put on this crazy-ass outfit. You got it, Paul. Puts on the outfit. Mm-hmm. Now can fly somehow. All right, whatever. And then he's dragged by the hand through everything. He makes no choices throughout. You know, it's like even at the end where it's like, you've got to destroy this world thing. He doesn't come up with that plan.
Mm.
He's just told, you should go and do this. We figured this out. You got it. Yeah. I'm off to it.
Yeah.
And then like the thing with Zod, he doesn't make a choice. Zod just like attacks him and then he like kills him.
It didn't kill me that humanity has a role to play in the rescue of Earth. Like, I didn't mind that part of it.
Yeah.
So that to me wasn't terrible, but I can see the other example of the poor writing in that film is I was actually really looking forward to Kevin Costner as Pa Kent, because he has that very avuncular, you know, fatherly, you know, that kind of quiet strength.
It completely works, yeah.
And so I was really looking forward to him in that role, but he had absolutely nothing to say. Like, all his speeches in it are just meaningless babble that if you parse it out, actually mean nothing.
Nope.
And it was just so disappointing. Like, he had nothing inspirational to say. I mean, both the Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man and the old Spider-Man, his uncle?
Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben, yeah, Uncle Ben. How could I forget that?
Converted rice.
Uncle Ben, it might just be the actors, but, you know, he actually has something good to say. And it's a very meaningful... And said meaningfully and done meaningfully.
And they also seem to do things together that families would do that aren't just the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not the big speech every time. Well, it's like, you're making some pancakes. You're doing something with the kid. You're taking him to practice.
Well, I think I complained about that, is that the movie missed that time of Clark learning to use his strength, like learning to adapt what he's developing to the real world, you know, so he's not hitting a baseball into the next stage and he's not, you know, pulling a doorknob off and things like that.
Yeah.
And just
you have a little bit.
So his mom and dad helping him to learn to use his powers and to harness them and to harness his anger that you feel as a child and into being creative, into whatever, you know. So why is he a writer? You know, well, I think the reason that Clark Kent would be a writer is because he had to learn to channel, you know, what he felt into something that was creative and thoughtful, rather than just, you know, doing something right away.
An internal world.
Yeah.
Because he can't really interact with the external world.
Well, he can't be spontaneous when he's reacting.
It's a big problem at the end where he becomes like Clark Kent, the newsman, because you're like, how do you know how to write? You were working as a waiter a second ago and working in a fishing boat.
Exactly.
I sure hope that you're good at this. Now here's my big problem, aside from the killing, which I think is complete bullshit. You go like...
Beside the killing, did you say?
Besides the killing of Zod.
Yeah.
Here's my huge problem with it. It's like, what's the...
Is this the hugest problem?
I think it is.
Okay.
Is what's the fucking point of this movie?
Yeah.
What they set up is this. He's raised with a father who tells him, listen, people, when they find out about you, they may fear you.
Yeah.
They may, you know, and so keep it quiet.
Keep it on the down low, he says.
Right. So you're curious, like, when they do find out about Superman and his existence, will they fear him? Is Dad right?
Yeah.
This is a big question.
Yeah.
Is Dad right?
Mm-hmm.
You never find out.
We're both dads right.
Well, no, let's just go with this for now.
Sure.
And we'll go to the second dad in a second. So, okay, so is Dad right? Will they fear the man who wants to help them
if
they learn he is an alien? Let's see. I wonder if humanity will fear the man that helps them if they learn he's an alien. Well, who knows? Because Bwahaha villain aliens show up and go, we're going to kill your shit and take over your planet and fuck you up, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And that's what comes down. So it's like, oh, humanity seems to... Well, you know what? Even humanity doesn't seem to fear those guys that much.
No, it's
humanity
very strange.
Humanity doesn't flip out over the Bwahaha space Nazis.
Yeah.
So it's just like, wait, was Pa right? Because Pa killed himself. Over this.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a good point.
He didn't kill himself, but let himself be killed.
Let himself be killed over this. Over this thing he truly believed. Now, what's the deal, man? Well, we're never going to find that out.
No.
Meanwhile, other dad goes, listen, he's so full of hope. He's like, I'm going to send super powerful baby down there. I'm betting they're going to treat him right. And you know what? And he says, like, to his son, you know, you'll be able to save them all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't save them all. No. He doesn't save tens of thousands of people. He doesn't save any of the other Kryptonians. He doesn't save any of those guys. In no way to save them at all. So this dad's dumb too. So you got one dad who's so fearful, just like, keep in the closet. And the other one's like, be out and tell them all. And they're all going to love you. And things couldn't be, everything's coming up sunshine, boy. Go out there and enjoy yourself. And you know, and so both his dads are equal, are opposite and equally dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them together up the world terribly.
Yeah.
So nice job, dumb dads. It's too bad mom never said nothing.
Too bad she had no opinions.
Yeah, it was.
She did get to save the photo album, so.
Though I always did want to do like a little parody sitcom called My Two Dads, with Superman and both of his dads alive, and just Pa just like, golly, we're gonna go to the farmer's market. No, I'm here with my science, and I'm going to create this amazing thing. What's all this here science? You know, listen, Kale, you're coming with me. No.
Don't you know, Pa Kent, that evolution always wins?
It's the other weird thing to me.
I'm science.
You've got a kid, right?
Because science.
You got a kid who is growing up in Kansas.
Yes.
And his actual name is Cal, which would be a perfect name for someone from Kansas, but they don't use that.
Well, they don't know his name is Cal, though.
Well, it'd be nice if you just found out. Like, but here's the thing.
How would they find out? They read it in something? They can't read Kryptonian writing.
You know, in the old Superman comics, they found out quite early. You know, and because he became Superboy at age 8. So it's like, then they find out he's Cal. It's like, you know what? Just call him Cal. That's his name. And it's a really, really common name in Kansas. Your name's Cal.
It's his secret name.
Okay, fine.
Not everyone can know that.
All righty. So basically, my big problem is he inspires nobody. It's not Superman. It's way too violent. It's cynical. Both dads are dumb.
Yeah.
All the female characters are terrible.
Okay.
And 3D, no need really for that, frankly.
Not very good for 3D in that movie. And worst of all,
scene after the credits.
At the end of the movie, or near the end of the movie, he appears as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
The best character in Superman, and the movie ends.
Right.
And I was like, what the bleep?
Also, he ends the movie with Metropolis fine and dandy, cotton candy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, everything looks exactly the same. So were you the one building that wasn't hit in the apocalypse?
It was destroyed, though.
Well, then why does the building look exactly the same inside?
I don't know.
You know?
They did some major rebuilding fast.
What you need to see then is you need to see the people rebuilding things, him driving by that. And it's like, you know what? They're hopeful.
Yeah.
They're rebuilding.
All because of Superman.
Yeah. They deal with change.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Yeah. The city's a lot better now. It's like a lot more views. Look at this. A lot of sunshine.
Yeah. Boy, none of these buildings have windows in them. It's so nice. The fresh air is so refreshing here.
You know, one thing the movie really did show me was like how good the Marvel movies were.
Mm.
You know, when I look at... When I look at, even the shittiest, you know, still had a lot of character stuff. Like Iron Man 2 is a stinkeroo, but it's still got like a lot of interesting character stuff with Tony Stark in it.
He sure talks a lot.
Yeah, he does.
And fast.
Yeah, and yes, sir, he does. But you buy it. But like when I look at Avengers, which covered a lot of the same ground, I'm just like, that movie should not have worked. And think about like Zach directing that one and just what a mess it would be. Like you always, and no matter where the action was, you kind of knew where you were.
Yeah.
The movie was paced
this
well.
This movie was terrible.
Superman,
Man of Steel.
Yeah. And what's
Shaky Cam, Michael Bay Shaky Cam.
Oh, the Shaky Cam, no good. And also, Man of Steel, weird name.
Well.
You know what? Man of Steel. Yeah. Was he a Man of Steel?
I don't know. We never saw under his skin. All right. We probably should wrap it up, sir. We've run a bit late today.
Yeah. Appreciate it, everybody. Let us know what you think about the things we were talking about, whether they're the nerdy things or the comedy things. or what have you. And we do hope to see you at the fundraiser at the Rio. We do hope to see you at our live show with Caustic Soda. If you have a chance to pick up, if you like comic books, the Malevolent Mr. Burns is a comic that just came out that I'm kind of happy with. I got a story in there, and Gail Simone, friend of mine, also has a story in there, and it's fun, and it's got a mask that you can pull out, and it's fun. Just pick up that. Anything, and also, if you want to grab some shirts from our show, go to our store on sneakydragon.com and click on the merch thing, and they'll take you to a place where you can PayPal it, and we'll send you a shirt, and maybe we'll put a little drawing or something in there as well. We'll make it special for you.
We'll make it work. Making it work.
Oh, no, wait, no, last week was where you sang like 5 or 6 different songs. Today, no songs.
No songs today.
No songs at all.
Recording this show on a completely different day than last week's show.
Oh, you can't. Oh, it's so different.
Oh, it's so different. It's crazy. Actually, it is a different day. I took my watch off because my hand is sweating.
Okay, Dave.
It is a different day.
We're recording this very late. Dave's got to get up early
for
work.
It's 1:45 in the morning. I have to get up at 6:30.
Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry.
I still have a 45-minute drive.
You know who
home.
The real Man of Steel is? You, Dave.
Me. I'm the Man of Steel.
Okay, Dave. We're going to wrap this up. Thanks so much for listening to our ranting and our raving. We really appreciate having you guys as listeners. It means a lot to us. If you want to write to us, please do. You know how to do it. You know how social media works. And if you see us in person, that's always a treat as well. Feel free to hug Dave. Don't hug me.
Hugger mugger.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Or goodbye. Whatever.
Good night. Goodbye.
I don't know when you're listening to
good
the show.
Good morning. It's 1:45. Woo!
Bye. Try one for real. It's great to stay up late.